You can take a seat. What an awesome job by the worship team today. I don't know why I have my sunglasses up here either. I'm not really sure what's going on here. How's everybody feeling tonight? Good? You good? Anybody on clap if they're doing well? I just want to tell you something here from the get-go, and everybody look at me, all right? I want you to know this, all right? You reading your word? Is everybody reading their word? I don't know if you've read the word before, but it's pretty good. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I don't know if you're reading your word. Are you praying? Man, that 7 days of prayer. I started journaling. I don't like to journal, but I started journaling. I actually listened to you for once in my life. You know, it took... It took 38 years, but I finally did it. I've been journaling that all my hair would come back. I've been praying to the Lord that a miracle would happen there. Are you reading your word, though? I don't know if you're reading your word. But let me just go ahead and declare some good news to you. I know you're seeing a lot. When you feed yourself, you know, you're feeding on the news, local, national media, social media. I know you're seeing a lot happening, a lot going on. We're in an election season, so everything's, you know, amped up to 11 right now. But can I just declare something to you, even over in your personal life, can I just declare something to you that you get this from God's word? Jesus has already won this battle. It's already been won. It's already been won. He has already won this battle. He's already won. He's seen how this is going to play out. And I'm so excited that you all have remained faithful. And we've seen God move, and we've seen God do miracles. I'm telling you, I've started praying about a month ago, like a lot more. My prayer life, like Blake talked about, and Pastor Brian did a great message a couple weeks ago. I started amping up my prayer life. I get up in the morning. I go outside just because I got to get away from everything. I'm an easily distracted person. And now I'm journaling since he's talked about starting to journal. But I've been praying to God. And I've seen God answer prayers. When I started journaling, Dad, you don't know this, but like two of the prayers that I started journaling about, God answered them that week. It was amazing. And I've seen God do so many amazing things that I just have great expectations on him. And one of the things that I've been praying about, and it's been a little discouraging, most of y'all have got a stimulus check. Not this guy. Mine hasn't come in yet. Neither has my taxes. I've been praying to God, crying out to God, while the rest of you are taking your stimulus and getting your flat screen TV. I got the rabbit ears out there, like I don't know what. No, I'm okay. But I've been asking God, I was like, Lord, you can do anything. Make the government release my taxes. I've called the IRS, and when you call the IRS, you wait like an hour and a half on hold before you can talk to them. And I've been praying about this. I'm like, God, if my taxes would just come in, it would change everything. If stimulus and taxes, because I'm not a rich guy by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not like Pastor Blake and Pastor Brian. I don't roll in the money, you know. I'm not even on staff here. So I'm praying, God, if you just send those taxes, it would change my life. And a month ago, God goes, well, how about your giving? I was like, we're not talking about that right now, God. But I've been bouncing back and forth between Brownsville, Tennessee, and here, and I haven't been consistent in my giving. So you're talking about giving made me think of this. I started giving, and I still prayed. God released my taxes. But you know what? My perspective changed on that. Because even though I haven't received my taxes, what I recognize is that God has provided my needs this whole time, and he's been taking care of me. It changed my perspective. Now get this. On Friday, I get a text from Mandy. She says, you got a big package in the mail from the IRS. I was like, oh my gosh, it's finally happened. Nope, it didn't happen. Here's what happened. The reason why I haven't gotten anything back is because I didn't sign my taxes that I mailed in. So I'm the dummy. But I've seen God answer so many prayers. But when God's moving like this, when God's doing these miracles like Elijah has experienced on Mount Carmel, God sending fire down, showing himself to be the true God. It was Elijah against all these prophets by himself, and God showed himself faithful and strong. Sometimes, after some of your greatest victories, can be some of your biggest discouragements. I felt like that before. I've seen God do things in my life, but because some things didn't turn out the way that I expected it, I got discouraged and even kind of dove into depression. And we're calling this message tonight, and usually I read the scripture and then I tell you the title, but we're calling this message tonight, Running on Empty. And I just wonder tonight in the room, how many of you you're tired? You're discouraged. You're empty. You're hopeless. You've seen God do these great things, but not everything has turned out the way you hoped. Has anybody ever prayed about something that you read God's word and you know you've seen God do that in his word, and you've seen God do that for other people, and you prayed that God would answer this prayer and he doesn't answer it quite like you think, and then you feel discouraged by it? You've seen God move mountains, you've seen him do miracles, you've seen him heal people, but there's just some things in your life it just didn't turn out quite like you expected it. Or maybe you've been through a lot of stuff, you know, a lot. Right now, I mean, if you look at the percentage, like the National Suicide Hotline, the calls they're getting right now, people wanting to take their lives and people overdosing, and there's so many destructive things that have happened. And we all don't know what to do about it other than pray and continue to meet, but there's so many people, even in the church, that are discouraged and depressed. They're struggling. They're empty, hopeless. Maybe you're in this room today and you feel like, I got nothing left. I can't do it anymore. Maybe the enemy's speaking in your head. You need to just end it. There's no hope. There's no peace. There's no rest. And you know, we read about Elijah and all the miraculous things that God did through him. And it's amazing. But we get to chapter 19 here, and this is the most relatable that I think Elijah is. And it's unbelievable. Like, we were sitting in the circle and we were talking about the passage and before we were praying. And it's like, if you were writing the Bible, you wouldn't write this weakness of Elijah into the Bible. This is why we can trust the Bible, because the Bible does give us the weaknesses of God's people. And so I can relate to this, and maybe you can relate to this as well. So God just does this miracle on Mount Carmel. Fire falls. The people turn their hearts back to God. Yes, the Lord, he is God. Man, we're seeing that happen, right? We're in the midst of revival right now. I don't know what God's going to do next, but we just better be ready. Because as God's moving, the enemy's going to attack too. And what's our response going to be? So God does these great miracles. And Elijah, filled with the Spirit, runs ahead of Ahab because the rain's coming. They've been in a famine. They've been in a drought. The rain's about to fall. God's done something, another miracle, something else amazing. But then we flip the chapter into chapter 19. And this is what happened with Elijah. So Elijah's running ahead of Ahab. Ahab goes back and tells Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. I find that interesting that that's the main topic that Ahab's talking about, because God did send fire from heaven when the prophets of Baal were dancing around trying to elicit a response from a dead God, and nothing happened. And Ahab's not like, God sent this fire from heaven. I mean, he proved himself to be the true God and the people turned their hearts back to him. No, he tells them about the prophets that he killed. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. If I don't kill you, may my gods deal with me ever so severely if I don't take you out. Now, if you don't go any farther, if you're new to reading the story of Elijah and you've seen him do all these amazing things, one little threat from one woman wouldn't mean anything. But what Elijah was anticipating, because we believe that he loved Ahab, he wanted to see the people that were in charge turn their hearts back to God. You know, just like we want to see our politicians turn their heart to the Lord. Do you pray about that, by the way? Our governors and our mayors and our politicians. I mean, I complain about them a lot too, because it's just frustrating. But really, we should pray. During times like this, And when God's moving like he is amongst a lot of his people, we ought to pray that they turn their hearts back to him. But this is what Elijah anticipated, that the whole nation would turn, that things would change politically. But it didn't. Jezebel was mad. So what did Elijah do? He was afraid and ran for his life. Filled with the Spirit in chapter 18, he ran ahead of Ahab because the rain was coming. But filled with fear here, he's running for his life because he's scared of a threat from the enemy. He's running for his life. It's interesting a lot of times, too, that some of our greatest strengths are also some of our greatest weaknesses as well. Elijah, Tishbite, he was a runner. It was a strength of his, but here he is running for his life, listening to the voice of the enemy. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Keep going. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Elijah is discouraged. He's running for his life. He's fearful. And he leaves his servant behind to seclude himself even more. And this is what we do when we're discouraged. I've been there. Maybe you've been there. This is what we do in depression. This is what we do when we're feeling hopeless. This is what we do when we're feeling empty a lot of times, is we seclude ourselves even more. Move away. We isolate. We listen to the voice of the enemy, and the voice of fear screams much louder in our head than the voice of truth. And we seclude ourselves. And he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. The same man that prayed that the rain would stop, God listened. It stopped. The same man that prayed that fire would fall from heaven, it happened. The same man that prayed that they would turn their hearts back again, it happened. The same man that put his head between his knees and prayed that it would rain, it happened. Now he's praying that he might die. Which is interesting, because I find that when I'm discouraged and I'm empty and I'm hopeless, like he ran for his life because he was fearful for his life when Jezebel made that threat, but here he's praying God takes his life. We just get illogical, all these things going through our head at that moment. But this is one prayer that Elijah's probably glad that God did not answer. And I don't know today if there might be somebody here in this room today that's wanting to end it. That hears things from the enemy like, you might as well just take yourself out. These people don't care about you. God don't care about you. You ever been there? You ever had those? They're loud, aren't they? Obnoxious, aren't they? So Elijah prayed that he might die, and he said, I've had enough, Lord. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I've been doing this stuff for 3 years, and this is a great message that Pastor Brian and Pastor Blake ought to preach to other pastors about burnout. I mean, I pastored for a long time. I know what it's like to feel burnt out and go, God's doing great things, but you're just burnt out. I've had enough. Usually with the pastor, it's like, I can't deal with these people anymore, you know? I'm done. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm no better than them. They failed. I failed. He's running on empty, hopeless, discouraged, done. And you could talk, Pastor Brian is a fantastic coach and counselor. Amen. He's fantastic. Yeah, you should encourage him for that. And he can give you a lot of insights on the clinical side of depression. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about the clinical side of it. I'm like Pastor Blake was last week. If you've been prescribed medicine, we are not medical doctors. We will talk to you about the spiritual side of it. But if you're like me, who's been through things like this, I got to a point where I don't want to be on, let medication control me for the rest of my life. I want to learn how to lean on the presence of Jesus and learn how to take every thought captive. But take your medicine, okay? Deal? Everybody good? That way we don't go out like the past 2 weeks and go, hey, Pastor Blake and Pastor Ryan said I should have enough faith to stop taking my medicine. No! Take your medicine, okay? But I feel like a lot of you, like Elijah, maybe just going through this discouragement, this depression. See, in my life, 3 years ago, I experienced tragedy. And I would get on my face before God. God was saving people. We were baptizing people all the time in Tennessee. Almost every weekend, we did 3 services crammed into a small little building. We started out with 11 people. In the first year, we saw 600 people in our one-year anniversary. I mean, God, in my eyes, was doing all these amazing things. And then I experienced tragedy in my life. But I thought, you know what? God's faithful. I'm in it to win it. God will be faithful to get me through this. He never lets me go, Stella. He moves mountains, Blake. I believed all the right things. And I would spend time with my face, Dave, on my carpet, crying out to God. I didn't sleep. I was just restless all night long. And I had the blue light of the TV, the lights were off, and I would spend night after night after night crying out to God to make this right. I need a miracle. God, I've seen you do this. I've seen you restore these people over here. I've seen you restore this relationship over here. The same God that did that can do that for me. Cried out, cried out, cried out, cried out. God, I just know that you're going to do this for my life. But guess what? Never happened. And more that time went, the more and more discouraged I got. The more and more depressed I got. The more and more ashamed that I got. I just felt empty. I got to places like, I've had enough. I've had enough. My stomach would be in knots. Like, I go to the doctor about things now. Is it okay for me to be transparent? Or y'all gonna judge me like y'all some good church people or something like that, okay? I had so much anxiety and depression. My stomach would be in knots. I didn't eat. I didn't sleep. That now I'm dealing with things when I go to the doctor that I think is a byproduct of the anxiety and the depression that I went through. You know? I mean, some of y'all don't know. I mean, I used to be a much bigger boy. Lost a lot of weight. Some exercise, most depression, wasn't eating. And just like, and I would hear these thoughts in my head, and I still hear them to this day, and I'm trying to learn how to fight them. Some people hear thoughts of, take your life. The thoughts that the enemy puts in my head, I don't know if anybody can relate to this. The thoughts that any enemy puts in my head, Dave, is you're going to die. You're going to die. Your kids are little. You're going to die. You've gone to the doctor. They're not listening to what you're saying. They're not looking for these issues that you're telling them that you're having. You're going to die. I can't tell you how many medical bills I piled up because I would hear that in my head. Any little pain that I got, I would hear, you're going to die. I'm so discouraged. And so I'm walking around day after day trying to exist, just work and be around my kids, but hearing in my head constantly, you are going to die. There's something wrong with your heart. There's something wrong with your gut. There's something wrong with your brain. Listen to me. Don't ever WebMD any kind of symptoms, all right? Because you will be dead by, 30 minutes if you do that. But that's what I would do. And I would sit there. And I would sit there with twitch and all of these. I was so depressed. I would say, I'm like, people don't care about me. God didn't care about me. God wasn't here for me. What I thought was supposed to happen didn't happen. And I'm just so empty fighting it. And just like Elijah, what did he do? He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. Sat down, we'll have this as the broom tree, broom bush tonight. I wonder who's sitting under the broom bush, broom tree. I wonder if you're here in the dirt. Tired, hopeless, feel like God's abandoned you. The pain that you feel from the abandonment that you experienced as a child or even as an adult from people that were supposed to be in your life. hopeless, hurting, empty, discouraged, not eating, not sleeping. You know, I actually learned from my doctor that rest is really good for your body. Ashley likes to sleep. I've learned that. But I'd go and lay down and back up and lay down and back up and lay down and back up. And you know what you start doing when you're discouraged and depressed and you're sitting under the broom tree? Elijah, he prayed that he might die. I've had enough. I'm just a failure. I mean, I don't want to go on and on and on and on and on the various, you know, feelings, emotions that you're feeling. You know, if you're here in the dirt. And this is how some of us deal with it. We scroll. I see you scrolling. We get on Facebook and we get on Twitter and we get on Snapchat and then we get on TikTok and send China all of our stuff on TikTok. We get on social media and we look at everybody else's life, which they've, you don't know, it took them 12 pictures to get that perfect picture of them and their smiling kids, but their kids didn't smile for the picture except for that one moment. And we start going, well, their life's better than my life. We start living in comparison. And we get more discouraged because this is where we run. We run here. We start scrolling. Instead of going to God, start watching a lot of TV. Me, TV, is great to turn my brain off. But I'd spend so much time just going home, laying on the couch, discouraged. Broom tree about fell on me. Watching TV. But then the pain is there. It's just so intense. It's so overwhelming. And the things that you hear in your mind, man, the enemy is relentless. He's relentless. And just to deal with the pain, start medicating it. You know? Maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol. Whatever it may be. We just want to stop hurting. And what's crazy is because in our mind we think, okay, this I'll stop hurting, but it's only for a short time, right? It doesn't last. It's crazy. I fall for that so often, and you do too. The enemy's like, just do this. This will make you feel better. But it does not last. It is not the Savior of the universe who Blake read about tonight saying, I'm never going to let you go. You know what alcohol does? It gives you a good feeling for a little while, and then it lets you go. Then you get addicted to it, and it affects people differently. The drug, you take the drugs, it make you feel good for a while, but then you get addicted to it, and then you look up and your life's in shambles because you're just trying to medicate pain instead of going to the place that can actually provide you help and hope. And I don't know, there was a time in my life where I sat here, like Elijah, God, you didn't answer my prayers like I thought you were going to. I'm done. I am done. And I was proud to say I was done. I was proud to tell any of y'all, I'm done. I'm not doing it. I don't know why I was so hopeless and hateful at that time, but I'm just like, I'm through. I can't do it anymore. The only thing that kept me around, like the reason why I think that I could hear these thoughts of you just need to take your life is because I did care about my kids, and I do care about my kids, and I didn't want to just leave my kids like that. But the whole time I'm done, the enemy's like, you're going to die anyway. I'm done. I'm done. I'm tired. I can't anymore. I got nothing left. Maybe that's where you're at tonight. But you're in a good place tonight. you are in the right room tonight. Even if you're under the broom tree, in the dirt. Because we had a Savior that got down in the dirt and put himself on a tree so that all of you that are hopeless can have hope. All of you that are hurting can find healing. And he laid down under the bush and he fell asleep. He needed rest. He's running. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." Get up and eat. A messenger of the Lord came to him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Now listen to me. A lot of you have made that declaration over your life: I'm done. I have nothing left. There's nothing to hope for. This is never going to get any better. I'm through. I'm finished. I'm done. But let me just ask you a question. What if God's not done with you? What if he's not done with you? What if it isn't over yet? I used to hear pastors say, if you're not dead, God's not done. And look what God does here. God goes out, sends his messenger out to meet Elijah. What did Elijah need at this moment? He needed rest and he needed replenishment. Get up and eat. Angel's like, get up and eat. Get up and eat. And he looks and there's bread and there's water. He replenishes him. He provides for his needs. I would love to say that to somebody tonight who's feeling hopeless. Get up and eat. Jesus is the bread of life. And he is the living water. But what I find interesting here too, because we talk a lot, Jesus does change us from the inside out. But what we see happening right here is God providing for Elijah's physical needs. You remember I talked about praying about my taxes to come in? This whole time God's been providing for my physical needs and I haven't even recognized it. And here comes the Lord meeting him right where he's at, under the broom tree, providing for him. Get up and eat. Then he laid down a second time, went back to sleep. Let me say something to the people that are ministering, to people that are going through depression or discouragement or feeling hopeless or feeling like they're going to quit. It's not going to be a quick turnaround. It's going to be a process. It's going to take time. Because let me tell you something. There was like four different occasions where I got back up to preach. And I thought, this is it. And then I would go back into my discouragement, Joey. It was like, just right back into it. Then I'd go do what God called me to do. And it's like, I'd go right back down, lay down and sleep. Feeling hopeless, like complaining, discouraged again, wanting to quit, wanting to give up. So he laid back down and said a second time, and then the angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for this journey is too much for you." And what he was talking about, he's about to send them on a 40-day journey. You need to get some food because I'm about to take you on a journey. You need some time. Come and meet me, is what God was saying. So he got up and ate. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" What are you doing here? After God fed him, sent him on a journey so God could meet with him. Rest, replenishment, time. It takes time. It takes time. You need time. Rest, replenishment, time. You need to have a personal encounter with God tonight. And you need to be able to be transparent with God too. Do you know you can do that? See, God said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Let me ask you something. If you're sitting here tonight, what are you doing here? If you're like a lot of Christians that I've been around, you want to put on a mask, pardon the pun, you want to put a mask on and pretend like everything is okay. I'm fine. It's all good. I got this. I'm not going to tell God about my stuff. I don't want him knowing my stuff, you know. As if God don't already know, by the way. I mean, come on, he's the creator of the universe. He knows everything, okay? What's interesting here is because it's almost like God gives us permission to be honest. I find it's confessing, not concealing, that actually leads to my healing. Interesting, isn't it? When we are transparent with God about where we are. Listen to me, when I finally got into a much better place and opened myself up to God, it wasn't like, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart." It was, "God, I'm mad. God, I'm struggling." And just like Elijah, he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." I was like, "God, I've been very zealous for you. I've done all these things for you." You ever prayed that to God before? "God, did you not see what I did for you? As if you owe me something? I did all of this, God. I went out and ministered to that person. I went and had that phone call with the person that nobody wants to talk to because they're going to keep on the phone for an hour. God, I did this for you. I did that for you, God. I'm mad. And you didn't answer that prayer. I've done all this stuff, God. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me." But the transparency is a good thing. It is a good thing. But Elijah also said, "I'm the only one left. I've been zealous for you, and I'm all alone. Nobody has to deal with what I'm dealing with. I'm by myself. Maybe you say that. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody gets, I'm all alone out here. Nobody knows what this feels like. Nobody knows what this struggle is like." But God actually told him, how many was it? We don't have the scripture. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. In other words, you are not alone. You're not alone. There are other people that are going through the same thing that you are going through. There are people that know. This is why you need the church, number one. There are people that know what it's like to go through divorce. There are people that know what it's like to have anxiety. There are people that know what it's like to have addiction. And there are people that know what it's like to struggle with anything imaginable. In this room right now, there are people that know what you are going through. This is not a house of saints. This is a place for sinners. This is beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. And there are people in this room that have been through things that I had been through already. And I rejected, you know, what God was sending to me because they were coming to help me out. Because I was looking for God and all the big loud stuff. But God was sending me people to show me that God will be faithful to get me through this moment. For those of you that are struggling with addiction, there are people in this room who are overcoming addiction a little bit farther in the process that you are that can give you encouragement and help you out. For those of you that have been through divorce, there are people that have been through that felt hopeless, that wanted to take their life, that thought nothing would ever change, that seen God be faithful. Those are the kind of people that you need to put yourself around. The reason why us as the pastors of this church are so transparent and honest, because we don't want you to think that we have it all together. There's just a lot of us that are a little bit further on our journey. But you are not alone. You're not. In your depression, you're not alone. There are people in this room that have struggled with that. There are people in this room that are battling anxiety, but they're fighting with the Spirit of the Lord. They're learning how to take every thought captive. They're learning. They don't always get it. Because let me tell you something. I've been in the dirt under the broom tree. And I've gotten up. And I've eaten. Got my rest. Started moving forward with my life. But I have bad days. That's where God's faithful to me. You know? I have days where I don't feel well. Where my stomach's tight. Where I feel like something's going on. But I have to pray that time, God, you can heal me, and I believe that you're going to heal me, but more importantly, your strength can be made perfect in my weakness, and your grace is sufficient for me. I need to rely on your grace, God. But I've had people that have been through what I've been through, and you know what I started doing? I started talking to people about what I was going through. I started going to God. Didn't you hear me? at the beginning of the message? A month ago, my prayer life got stronger. I started putting myself in God's word, and man, it's so rich. It's so filling. I know what you're thinking. You're looking for God in the big. God does send fire from heaven. God does work like that. But what you have right now is the enemy screaming in your head, telling you it's over. There's no hope. Some of you right now, when you came in the room, you dreaded trying to lay your head down tonight because you know you wouldn't sleep. Some of you dread getting up because you know it's just going to be another day of discouragement because the enemy is loud. Like Jezebel, may the gods deal with me ever so severely if I don't make your life like one of them, if I don't destroy you. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've had too many of my days stolen by the words of the enemy. And you have too. It's time to get up and eat. God is here. So Elijah goes and he meets God on the mountain of God. And check out, he says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. I'm telling you, Blake, I don't think that I'm speaking out of line when I say the Lord is here now. He's here. He's here. Can you just go ahead and determine in your heart that you're gonna run to him tonight? He's here. He's here. His presence is here. Man, his presence has been with us even before we started tonight. And it's not that God dwells in a church building, but he dwells among his people. He's here. He said, the Lord's about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. I would have thought the Lord would have been in the wind. The Lord's powerful. I mean, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord. He's powerful. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, shaking things up. I used to pray that all the time. God, shake some things up. But God was not in an earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was in the fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. A whisper. And that's when Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And we're not going to finish that story. Because Pastor Brian's going to take over with that message next week as we kind of finish out Elijah. But God was in the whisper. The whisper. The old timers and the theologians call that in the New Testament the still small voice. God was in the whisper. We're looking for God in the big. Maybe you're looking for God to answer one big prayer, and then that's how you know he'll be faithful to you. Come look at me. You're looking for God to do things the way that you expect him to do. Because the enemy's been so loud in your head, and you've wanted to give up, and you're discouraged, and you're hopeless, and you're tired, and you're empty, and you're depleted. God, do something. And here comes God in the whisper. You know why I think God whispers? Listen to me. This is important. You know why I think God's in the whisper? Because he's so close. He's near. Psalms tells us that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You hear him tonight? The enemy's blasting in your mind. And I fully expect that even during this time, as this message is unfolding, the enemy's putting it in your head that that's all garbage that you're hearing. That nothing's going to ever change, but you have to get up and eat tonight. And you have to go meet with the Lord. And you have to give yourself time. And you have to get yourself around some people that are going to lift you up. And you got to go spend time with the Lord, because we have the noise of the world all around us all the time. This is why I think it's important for you every day to get into a place where you're still so you can hear God speak. He's in the whisper. He's saying, I love you, child. I don't think that I'm speaking out of line, Ashley, when I say to somebody tonight that God's saying, it's not over. It's not done. There's a reason why I got you to Eastland tonight. Because I knew that you would hear a message that will give you some hope. We're going to need to do some work, but it's not over. God, I'm tired. I know you're tired. I know you feel done. I know you feel defeated. God, you don't understand. I don't know what else to do. I can't sleep. I can't eat. I'm agitated. I'm angry. I don't have the energy to take care of my kids. I don't know, God. I'm done. I'm tired. Can you hear the whisper of Jesus? Put that scripture up. What did Jesus say? He said, come to me. It's in Matthew. Put it on the screen. I believe we got it. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. And what did he say that he would do? I will give you rest. 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 I pray rest over you tonight. Come to me, child. It's not done. I know that voice is loud, but my voice is greater. Ooh, isn't that good? The whisper's greater than the screaming of the enemy. Rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. God's coming to you at the broom tree. Get up and eat. And come to me. Find rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's hope tonight. There's hope.